Don't forget to suck some titties.
If you can't pay your dues, you need to reevaluate your life. Is what I heard this guy say. I was sitting somewhere working on stuff, and there was this whole little get-together. I'm not gonna lie, it looked kind of sus. It looked like one older guy, either an instructor, a pastor, or an impastor of the word of Jesus. And you could definitely tell it was very heavy, you know, faith focus. Nothing wrong with that. I had no issues with it, personally. I know people probably think I have issues with people that, you know, praise the Lord and stuff. That's not really it. It's, when this guy, and it was such a serious, you thought this dude was the kid's father. He was talking about something like, you know, I think I'm going to have a hard time paying my dues. Which, I didn't know if you went to church, you had to pay annual fees, like, you know, it's a gym membership for cleaning and stuff. Now, look, I've heard of tithes, whatever, where you donate to the church. I didn't know you had to basically pay a subscription or membership. And the dude with the straight face literally told the kid, if you can't pay your dues, you need to reevaluate your life. And I was like, whoa, that shit took a turn. It made me pause while I was listening to it and pretend I was listening to someone while I actually listened to them. He's like, you know, if you can't pay your dues in the church, you need to get rid of a bunch of other things. You need to reevaluate the people you're around and stuff. I'm like, how much is this fucking membership? Like, you know, I doubt if the thing's like, you know, $20 a month. That's really, I have a feeling this shit's pretty extensive. Sounds pretty cult-like. But I'm just sitting there and I was laughing to myself. I was legitimately just kind of chuckling to myself. And they didn't look over, but I was just kind of sitting there. I'm like, it's stuff like this just reconfirms everything I believe in. I'll tell you where I do need Jesus. The stock market, because that shit is going down. By the way, stock market update. Day trading update. I'm recording this on a Monday, March 3rd. By the way, side note, I actually recorded a whole episode and I found out the day after when I was about to go in and edit it. None of the audio was picked up. This is probably the third or fourth time that's happened of me recording an episode. When you run a minimal operation, sometimes you find out too late. And typically, you know, honestly, the worst part, it's always the episodes that you're like, man, that shit was fun. That shit was so fast and easy. I was just like having a good time. It's always those. It's never the ones where you're like, yeah, so, tariffs, right? You know, it's never those. It completely, I spent time, I made time for it, I scheduled it, I prepared my day around it, and then it was like almost that day went to waste, because once the thing I did didn't work out, it kind of fucked up my day, and I'm like, fuck me, and I lost money. but day trading update, Friday, I went in the red, and by red, I mean, like the first time you're girlfriends on her period type of red. You're like, holy shit. eyes wide shut. Apparently Stanley Kubrick is kind of an asshole. But, hey. We always reward insanity as long as it's behind art. And the art of period blood, I gotta tell you. I'd have rather just consumed a jar of blood than saw the negative number I saw Friday. So I was in the positive. I was plus four something, right? I was like, okay, I'm doing some shit. I held on to a Tesla option. If I would have sold it within the first 5 minutes of the day, I would have made a nice pretty penny. By pretty penny, I would have made at least 200 to 300 profit. I would have had that plus my Meta, which was like 170, and I would have walked out that day making $400 profit that day. And end of the week, for the first time, in a really good profit. And somehow I went from that potential to ending the day minus 340 something. I forgot the number. Basically, minus 340 in profit losses ever since I started the account. It's amazing how I was in the green all 4 days making really good progress. I was really starting to figure some shit out. And God's like, hey, it's time to pay your dues. Yeah, you know, some people pay dues to the church. I pay my dues to Robin Hood. they got us. I'm the stereotypical Robin Hood investor. For now. But you know what? Even though I shit the bed today, I didn't necessarily lose any money. But I made money, lost, got a few dollars back, kind of played that game. It's a dangerous game to play when you're playing with a small portfolio. And everything started to go downhill. Like, I mean, the stock market is tanking. I'm recording this on a Monday, so I guess we'll find out Tuesday. I am hoping shit hits the fan Tuesday because I'm doing nothing but puts. I am expecting I would rather go down losing by doing what is obviously happening than try to be sophisticated and clever and think so far ahead and you do, oh, things are going to spike up and then they don't. So you know what? I'm going all in tomorrow. I'm not saying I'm putting it all on one trade, but I am the big things with these tariffs, bro. I am banking on the shit hitting the fan. You know, I'm not going to sound like a great American citizen saying this, you know, or a great global patron of society. I hope they do not come to an agreement tonight on these tariffs. I don't hope it drags out, you know, maybe the week, you know, get the boys some extra bread. I am relying on negativity. When I've noticed with my winnings, I have relied on negativity. I'm expecting the worst, and that's how you get the best. When you try to be optimistic in this world, you get fucked. I am hoping we don't come to agreements so I can make money. I'm starting to feel like a rich elitist while being minus 370 profit loss. but you know what? I'm really feeling, even after a day like today, I basically made the decision early on, like, you know what? Today is not the day you're going to make any money doing this. This is the type of days you lose money. So once I kind of got broke even, I was like, I'm just going to relax the rest of the day and really just start really hard tomorrow, you know? You realize that some days doing anything, you just got to be like, today is not the day. I am better off just sitting back, letting the show play out and be fine. But yeah. Yep. That is my day trading update. So we'll see by the end of the week. Because I do not want to get a job. But I will. But I don't want to. yeah. So, you know, one thing I'm kind of battling mentally right now is, should I just talk about the same things I did in the episode that was never aired that didn't pick up any audio, or just try to go with a clean slate? Well, one thing that I remember talked about, so I guess I'll kind of, I hate repeating it, you know, but maybe it'll be better this time. There is this streamer named Atrioc. I didn't even know about this. He is basically, he's kind of like a Twitch streamer, posted stuff on YouTube. He's kind of like a marketing, entertainment, stuff about the stock market, you know, marketing and just kind of general finance stuff, kind of covers in an entertaining way. Apparently a couple years ago, I didn't know about this, so it came across my algorithm, you know. A couple years ago, he had a controversy where basically he pulled up a tab on screen. Which, by the way, the people that do live streams and stuff don't have any tabs that you don't need. and apparently on this tab, it was kind of exposed that he was looking at deep fake porn. Yes. But that is one thing. But he was looking at a deep fake of a friend of his another streamer's girlfriend doing stuff. Now, it's fake. It's not actually her. It's a deep fake, Rhea. Well, I'm pretty sure it was deep, and it didn't feel fake. Now, I still don't know if he watched videos of him, of her, and the boyfriend, because that's kind of weird. We friends with someone, be like, yeah, bro, I want to watch you fuck, bro. Even if it's fake. Still kind of weird. But, you know, someone watching your girlfriend in a deep fake, it's not great. Like, you know, it's kind of an odd, hey, how you guys been when you bump into each other? Be like, I don't know, but I can see how you've been. Yeah. But this man had a whole girlfriend and wife. So it brings another, like, all right, he's a weirdo for looking at porn, which people have, I'll say my belief on it. I don't watch that stuff, you know, never have, never will. I'm a child of God. but I is it great for you? No. Can it affect your relationship, if intimacy and stuff of that nature? Yeah. Anything consumed in huge loads, no pun intended, is not going to be great for you. Especially things that create a lot of stimulation and relaxation. And it kind of creates the feeling of connection, but in a unnatural way. Which is, you know, never good, really, for your spirit or your mind. But this man went on the stream, in an apology stream, with his girlfriend. Slash, I don't know if they're married now, but his girlfriend at the time. And one, he's like, you know, emotionally sputtered. You know, he's embarrassed, you know, for that to be publicly exposed. Fair enough. She's in the background. Like, you would have thought they fucking lost their child or some shit, you know? Thought their child got kidnapped. And and she's on stream, like, behind him crying, which is weird to bring the person that you kind of hurt on stream. That's kind of like, hey guys, I'm showing I really fucked up and who I hurt. And I'm like, alright, can we just be honest about this? I know people made a big deal about the time. Someone looking at a deep fake porn, you know, I don't really think it's something worth crying over. It's embarrassing, it's odd. I would judge someone a little bit if they're watching fake people or anime stuff in that nature, you know, but whatever. It's not something that's going to be like, hey man, like, I just can't be around you. I can't be seen with you in public. Like, it's not that serious. And even when it comes to a couple standpoint, there are people that are like, if you watch porn, you're cheating on your partner. And I'm like, okay, well, have them stick their dick into some vagina. See which one makes you feel a little bit worse, you know? I hate when people try to say, oh, watching porn is just as bad as cheating on your spouse. Okay. Yes, you are fantasizing or watching something that is making you feel pretty good in most cases. But, not that I would know, but typically when you watch this stuff, you don't really feel great about it after. You know? It's not like when you take a nice big shit. That shit is like, it just held up inside of you. And then you let go and it feels great. Once you do whatever you're doing, you typically don't feel, at worst, you feel the same. If not, you just feel less than yourself after. Because it's kind of a sticky situation. well, especially if you're not hydrated or eating well. It's a really nasty situation. But it is, the point I'm trying to make is, it was never that serious to be crying on stream over. That is something like, I'm embarrassed that people found out about this. Yes, you're watching a deepfake of a close friend of yours, his girlfriend. That's weird. And yeah, that would be kind of weird if a friend of mine I found out was watching the deepfake of my partner. And I'd be like, you know, I'm kind of flattered. Only because it was a fake version, but at the same time, Yeah, I'm going to be like, yeah, you know, probably not going to invite you over to do the podcast, you know. Probably do that somewhere else, you know. We can meet somewhere neutral, but yeah, you know. not coming anywhere near my house. I don't want you to get any ideas. But the idea of, like, the dude did not do anything that was worth being canceled over, not being able to take time away. And he did this whole thing where he paid attorneys and lawyers to get deepfakes taken down, you know, to kind of give back and show the seriousness. And that's all great and all. But was it really that serious? Like, am I the only one that's just so desensitized to a lot of things? I'm like, a guy watched some deepfake porn and he'll be fine. This dude didn't actually do anything terrible. This is like this self-made internet thing that people divert. Like, honestly, a dude watching porn, if that's like the worst thing he's done publicly, the dude is killing it. All right. The dude is absolutely destroying in life. If the worst thing that will publicly ever be exposed of you is that you watch some fake sex, like, I think you're fine. Like, I think you're an upstanding member of society, you know? It's not like you're on Epstein's list. oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, people are, you know, the Epstein files are really just a reminder. It is a, just a, no one will ever be satisfied. Because, look, it's odd. It's random ass people. They gave them a binder. Here's the Epstein files. And they did like some word art printout like you would at an elementary school. Printing out FBI Epstein files right here. First of all, you really think in the center where they're keeping these classified items, they're really just being like, yep, FBI. This is where the Epstein files are, in case anyone were to actually break in or some shit. You think they're going to make it that fucking easy? And of course people are upset because they didn't really release anything that we didn't already know. It was already kind of exposed. Most of the people who were on those logs is just like more detailed of dates. There's a lot of bunch of stuff redacted because, you know, it could expose victims and stuff like that. But it's also, it probably had information that's probably more meaningful. Half the thing you can't even see anyways. And people are upset because it is not what people were looking for. And it's like, hey, look, they released the shit. So it's one of those things where like, what is the point? Like, people are like, oh, Trump's in an office. He's going to release What really happened to JFK, MLK, and all these undercover investigations and all these like public exposés of events that they try to cover up and what really happened. And the Epstein shit really just exposed that, like, yeah, you know what? Who cares? I mean, like, yeah, people should be held accountable. But at the same time, does it really matter at the end of the day? It's just for all it really, like, these people aren't going to go to jail. It's information that the FBI has. So even if the owner of Victoria's Secret, they had a close relationship, even if Naomi Campbell and all these celebrities' names are on it, they're not going to go to jail for it, because if it mattered that much, they would have went to jail when it was first presented to them, when they had the information for years and years. All it does is it kind of puts a weird public image on a lot of these people that people already knew were part of the weird shit. But it just goes to show, like, this is why they don't release shit to the public. Because what's the point? If anything, you just make more people unhappy. Like, oh, you didn't release all the people. You hid people. Like, how do you fucking know? I mean, maybe they did. Yeah, they probably held back information. And I'm a believer, like, as, like, you know, I don't really think it's always necessary for the public to know everything, except when it impacts us and shit like that. And I'm not advocating for government to suppress shit, not by any means. But at the same time, if we're really going to look at what benefit does it do for them to release all the information, it's very indifferent most of the time. Now, if you're covering up murder cases, in this case, you're covering up child predators and stuff like that, but they already know all the information. But what good does it releasing the information to the public? Public pressure? Like, a lot of these people probably can't even be tried in court. It's been so many years since they've been involved. Like, yeah, Epstein's a shitty person. Yeah, everyone involved with him deserves some eyebrows raised. But in the end of the day, releasing, people being unhappy, it seems like a farce. It seems like more of a publicity than actually getting the information the way they're celebrating. Like, yeah, we got the binder. It's like, you're telling me all the shit's in three fucking binders? 20 plus years of shit's in three fucking binders? Okay. That's why, like, I don't understand why people get that mad about this shit. Like, you already know what's up. I know what's up. You know what's up. So, what's up? yeah. It's just odd to me, man. Like, people just, we just find things to continuously get upset about when no one, they don't give a fuck if you know about it or not. There's no incentive. So, I don't know. I do not know. Yeah. But you know what? That's what you get. So, not to go back to day trading. I saw a video where a guy, a trader, he wears a wolf mask. And you know what? If I was trading live and had $80,000 on the line, I would probably wear a mask too. Because it would be pretty obvious how unhappy I am when I'm down 10K. This man, like, started hot. Like, he has some Apple stock. It's from a long time ago. But he has some Apple stock. The shit tanked. And this man started, he started legitimately howling like a wolf. He's going around, like, hands over the face. Like, anyone that's ever done this shit, like, you get it. And this man had the same reaction losing 80K as I did losing 200. That, I don't know if that's something to be like, yeah, see, we're all the same. It'll be like, hey, you know what? Probably relax a little. Yeah. But yeah, no, I just thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah. But you know, it's fun out here. We all are having good times out here. Good times. That shit irritates me the fuck out. I had a really good episode, and I already forgot most of it. Oh well. You know what? They say lost opportunities are excuses to create new ones. I don't know. I don't think anyone ever said that, but, you know, sounds good. You know, kind of going, but we're going the sports a little bit, right? Luka on the Lakers, right? I think it's starting to work. What's funny to me, though, is people actually, I saw some earlier today saying, is LeBron holding back Luka? It's like, I don't know, last time I checked, LeBron is the fucking reason why Luka's there. You think LeBron's not there, Luka's gonna fucking go to the Lakers being traded to play with who? Dalton Connect? No offense. Jackson Hayes, no offense. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm so fucking pissed that episode didn't fucking... I'll probably cut some of this out. You know, I think, one thing I have come to a relative conclusion to. is that I think it's time to let it all go. SZA, you know, she, So, Ella May, right? She seems like a whole different woman now. It's amazing how one person can change a person's life, right? I didn't even know she was with Jason Tatum. But, because they honestly look pretty damn identical. She looks a lot different in a good way. Not saying she looks, I mean, she always looked great, but she just looks more happy, mature, full, if that makes sense. Great skin, like smooth, buttery skin. And Jason Tatum, he's on the rebound. now, that's not a bad, but he's actually... She has this, and I only found this out because she has this little cover going around that's going viral of her voice, and it's just angelic. But it's crazy, like, a lot of people notice, like, she just looks, like, you could tell when someone makes someone happy. Like, the song is called Little Things, and you could definitely tell just being with someone like Jason Tatum. I don't know how the guy is or whoever. But apparently, he makes her very happy. They have a kid together. And sometimes it's a reminder, you know, it's so nice just overall. There's so much, like, negative music out there. There's so much negative shit, especially towards, like, athletes being, you know, womanizers and all this stuff. Cheating, having babies while in marriage with other women and all this negativity of baby daddies, men ain't shit, all that stuff. And then you come across her as just a stripped down, relaxed, not even praising. Like, it's always weird to praise a partner or to praise another human being. But to just her saying how simply good he makes her feel, right? All the great, like, how easy your life is because of him and stuff like that. You know, when you see all this negativity out there of men being unappreciated, you know, women dogging their husbands on social media, just treating them like, you know, it's just how it is, you know. And it's all this rationalization for terrible behavior from both sides. And just to have a... You see a look on someone's face. You see, just like they're two easygoing people. They just make each other happy. It's simple. And when life is that simple, simplicity equals happiness. That's what I got from all that, you know. All of her older music is a lot about, you know, relationship bouncing of the ebbs, the highs and lows, a boot up, trip. Few other songs. It's a lot of, like, very high intense, high valleys, low peaks, or is it high peaks, low valleys type of relationship where it's so up, it's so down. And when you just find that stability with someone, you see it, you feel it. It's not this, like, all the time, every other day, they're telling the world how great they are. It comes out in the most natural ways. Like, I haven't heard from her in years. And just seeing it, it's like, man, you can tell she's changed. She's different. Not even necessarily in a bad or good way. It's just like, she just feels like she's in a different place in life. And that's pretty, you would say, heavily contributed to just the foundation and stability that being with someone like him, probably having a kid together, does to someone. You know, it gets you to thinking, like, man, you know. You know, what creates that? You know, is it strictly just you got to have a kid to create that stability? You know, because if you don't have a reason to be stable, why be stable? You know, that sounds pretty fucked up. But for a lot of people, you need that kind of weird external thing to be a stable person. You need to have a consistent job to go to be stable, weirdly enough. As much time as it takes away, sometimes you leave people to their devices too long, nothing of significance good happens. if people are together for a long time and they don't have kids, they're not married, they don't have anything to really go off except just, you know, them, you know, how long is that realistically going to last? Probably not. Sometimes you need that external thing to balance out things. I don't know. There's my thought of the day. Sudoku. Oh, Jeannie. Bus. Could she be busting it down? Tatiana. Yeah, so, you know, there's been this whole SNL had their 50th anniversary. And I didn't really watch the show. I'll be honest with you. I always, you know, I saw some clips and stuff and, you know, it was nice. You know, it seemed like, eh, you know, whatever. I will say, you know, one thing that I think Bowen Yang should be ashamed of himself. I didn't realize how, like, I didn't really care too much about when Shane Gillis got first canceled. Like, I mean, I know of him. I wouldn't say I really sit here and listen to him like that, except when he's on Protect Our Parks. But, you know, obviously he's funny. You know, he's cool. He seems like a really good dude. Cool dude. I didn't like the whole him getting canceled from SNL for past sketches and stuff like that. Well, really, you know, looking deeper in the story, Bowen Yang should be honestly ashamed. And the fact that he's getting this pass is kind of pretty insane. He's even kind of admitted to it that he was a ringleader of him getting fired. But what's weird is he was a writer at the time. I don't even think he was a cast member. And he used that situation to elevate himself, which kind of makes him a piece of shit. To kind of, oh, because you want to use a, oh, diversity and all that stuff, but it's really just for your own benefit gain, and you don't really care about the bigger picture. And you rationalize it by ruining this guy's career over nothing, if we're being pretty honest about it. So I think, and the fact that he's just given this pass when he was asked about it and brought back up, it kind of is just, oh, so it's okay when he does it. But, and I'm not rationalizing, you know, whatever sketches he did in the past, but at the same time, he didn't get him, you being a ringleader to get someone to not even have an opportunity on the show, you're resisting opportunity so you can elevate to give yourself one. I think that's the fucked up part. Anytime you got to tear someone else down to bring yourself up because you have this perceived virtue. And I'll be honest, when you watch sketches and stuff with him involved, he's typically the, I don't like doing this shit, but you know, he definitely seems like he's forced out there. It doesn't really seem like he meshes well. Like, he doesn't even really seem that likable. I'm going to be honest with you. He seems kind of annoying, prickly, self-indulged. And I know that's a mass characterization for someone I don't know. But at the same time, got to defend my white brothers. I'm kidding. But in all seriousness, like, he doesn't really seem like he's a natural out there. So you definitely tell, it's almost like, hey, you know, is he the best we could put out there? Not really. But if we don't, we fire him, it's more trouble than keeping them. And sometimes there are people like that, you know. You work somewhere long enough, there's always people that like, this person should have been fired a long time ago. They kind of gave up on this shit a long time ago. They're like, yeah, but you know, we're kind of short-staffed. the paperwork, the backlash, the potential lawsuits, the discrimination, they're going to, you know what, just leave them alone, you know. That's what kind of feels like, you know, with someone like him, is it's probably more trouble to get rid of someone, even if he's a weak link of a show, than it is just to keep him and just kind of place him where you want him at times to kind of minimize the exposure. But the fact that he's given this pass because of it, because he's his ethnicity and he's gay. Let's be honest about it. Those are the main factors for why you can't really go after him for it. Because if he was straight and, you know, not even, you know, if he was just white or black, that dude would have been kicked off the show. But because he's like a minority of minorities and he's gay, he was able to kind of use his power as the lowest form in the cast of just being a writer. And use that to get to on sketches because it opens spots, you know. And that's kind of fucked up. Like, that's not a way I would want to get on TV spot. Like, I wouldn't. Like, if I was a writer for a show, but I wanted to get on screen, you know, I wouldn't want it to be because I pushed someone out so I can get exposure. That's not the way you do things. If it, things happen away and you happen to get the opportunity, that's one thing. You know, you can't control that. But you leading a charge to get someone off a show so you can guilt trip everyone for you to get on the show, it's kind of fucked up. But hey, what do I know? Life is stranger than fiction. Hey, there's a title to today's episode, Stranger Than Fiction. Actually, I saw the movie Stranger Than Fiction. I saw a few weeks ago. It is a movie about a man who is, there's a woman writing a book. But she is narrating in his head his life in real time as she's writing a book. And literally everything she writes is going to actually end up happening. And she's literally writing in real time. I think his name's Harold Crick. I think Harold. And she basically, you know, not to spoil it, but she basically writes him to die, you know, in this book. Because in all of her books, the main character dies, you know, whatever reason. And as she's writing, you know, she's comes to this, but she doesn't know she's writing about a real human being, but he meets her and then they try to, he tries to, well, you know, she tries to do what's best for the story, even if it's for his life, but she feels guilt and it's this weird thing, you know. It's so absurd because obviously it would never happen in real life, but it doesn't make you think how many authors out there, even if they met someone who, if they write the ending the way they do, they will die. How many of them would justify, well, you know, it's for the story. And there are people that will rationalize that shit, too. You know, it's almost like you're making a sacrifice for art. That's probably how someone would rationalize it. It's like, you know what? You know, can you just, like, give me a broken arm for your art? Does it always have to be like, oh, I get hit by a fucking bus, you know? Get completely decapitated. But you know, stranger than fiction. Life is really sometimes stranger than fiction. You can't predict. Sometimes it seems so cartoonish, real life. You know, we live in a world right now where it's pretty cartoonish. You know, we got tariffs of borders. We got, you know, we got this Ukraine stuff. We got, you know, these issues over here. We got people that want to travel in crisis and feel entitled to it. Like, people always care about the world's issues until it affects their travel plan, you know? You know, I want everyone to be able to, you know, immigrate wherever they want to with no resistance. It's like, all right, well, then when you travel to Argentina this year, you got to actually become a full citizen. What? You know, everyone wants things so it affects their bottom line, you know. But for a storybook, you know, ending, it could be, you know, anything could be rationalized, I guess. But, you know, the movie was very fascinating to me. I've never seen Will Ferrell in that type of role before. And also what I realized is they don't make movies like, they're not going to, like, it was a good movie. I wouldn't say it was a great movie, but it was fine. But they're never going to make a movie like that again. You know, where it's actually in-depth storyline and stuff like that, where it's a patient you go through. It's an enjoyable movie experience. It's not too fast where everything's rushed, but, you know, it's not too dragged out either, you know. It seems like now a movie is either an hour and 20 minutes or 2 hours and 45 minutes, you know. There's no, like, in between. Like, the best movies are the ones that are, like, hour 40, hour 55 minutes with an intense storyline and progression. But that doesn't happen anymore. But a movie like that, where it's no crazy action, is very conceptual, is very, you're really having to follow what's real, what's in his head. And it requires you to actually be engaged, because it connects to real life matters, but obviously in a fictional type of thing that would never really happen. But you're dealing with real life emotions, like if this were to happen. But stuff like that, like a movie like that's not going to be made. It's not action filled enough. It's too slow. It's this and that. And then the Oscars were on. And the Oscars are so predictable. Like, movie award shows are now so predictable. I'll be honest. Like, isn't it funny how everyone loves and watches movies, but all the movies that are awarded for these big TV shows, for these big shows, the Oscars, the Academy Awards, no one's ever watched like 80% of these movies. They're always like these small niche films that are about, oh, you know, some Holocaust survivor in Saskatchewan, you know? It's like, it's very odd. It's always some dramatic acting type of stuff. Oh, someone, you know, it's always some Adrian Brody plays. Oh, he plays a deaf pianist, you know? It's like, oh, someone played Abraham Lincoln. Oh, it's always a movie that's kind of slow and boring, but it's hidden in the arts, you know, type of thing. And it's always a type of movie that's going to win Oscars now. It's not actually going to be like the Goodwill Huntings of, you know, some people come up in the ranks, make this dynamic movie, the first written movie, and it's just from the heart, and it's, you could definitely tell it comes close from experience. Like, it's almost like a lot of these movies can't be too personally attached to the people that make them. It has to feel so outerly, can't be real connection, that it almost feels outer space. That's what it feels like a lot of these movies, if that makes any fucking sense. But none of these movies are actually movies that people actually watch in the real world. Like, I've never heard of a real, like, I've heard of A Real Pain with Eisenberg and Kieran. I never fucking, like, it's not anywhere to fucking watch. No one really watched Wicked. Can we be honest with you? No one really sat there and watched fucking Wicked. No one really sat there and watched whatever movie Adrian Brody was a part of. No offense to him, you know, he's a good actor, but I don't even know what fucking movie he was in. But all these movies that you hear list, like, it's like, I've only heard these movies in the past week because these are movies that they keep promoting that are up for nomination. If you didn't know they were nominated, you wouldn't know most of these movies fucking exist. It could be sometimes like that with the Grammys, but, you know, now every year it's Kendrick, so you're going to hear it. But, you know, what are you going to do? So, you know, as always with this, cat's just always fucking looking at the door like, you know, Frankenstein's gonna come out. So here's another thing, right? One thing, obviously, you know, comment sections are interesting, right? You know, I've been coming across some weird comments about, there's a podcast I listen to. I don't know if I want to say the name. Actually, you know what, fuck it. It's a podcast called Tuesdays with Stories. Now, the show's a very back and forth, funny, irreverent, just two dudes saying a lot of gay jokes, fucking around, saying wild shit, a lot of puns, telling stories in between. It's a certain dynamic you have to be into, right? Like, there's certain podcasts, like, there's certain people that is just, their dynamic is what you come back for the show. It's not really the topics they, like, I don't care what the title of the show is or the episode. I do not care what topics are in the description. I'm 90% going to click just because I want to get in that world of their world of escaping, you know. But what's odd to me is not even on the, like, on the Spotify comment section. A lot of people probably don't know that it's actually comment sections on, like, these streaming, you know, Spotify and Apple Podcasts type of thing. And I never really read because who the fuck actually comments on Spotify? That's, you know, it's a pretty odd thing to do. And it'll be, you could definitely tell, like, a lot of people make comments and they don't listen to the episode and they just want to get some opinion they have about the people that have nothing to do with the episode, which is what it is. The man's, like, this one comment said, Mark needs to get away from these hacks. Joe, Sam, basically his friends in comedy, they are holding him back. He needs to separate from them. It's like, that's what you took away from this? Yeah, sure. Mark's now head and shoulders more famous than his friends. But it seems like it's odd that we want people to be relatable. We want people to be connected to us as, you know, consumers and fans and stuff like that. But then you want them to start being the type of asshole that you would criticize when they get too big for their skis. So you want him, and who are you, like, my thing is, who are you to assume that they're holding him back when really he's probably gotten to the place he's gotten to because of them, those friends. They all grew, they all went through the ranks together, started around the same time. They grew together. They all became successful in their own right. Like, what you probably don't realize that maybe he does is that they're actually a big reason why he's where he's at. Their support. Their ability to bounce ideas off each other. People that actually understand their profession, because it's, look, it's not a standard profession. Like, we could pretend to be like, oh, it's like any other job. It's like, nah, like, it's a very hard thing to explain to people that that don't do that. So to have people that do what you do, see you go through the ups and downs, what it takes and all that stuff in that profession. And you got people in comment section now calling his friends hacks and people that are holding him back. It's like, well, if he's gone to where he's at, them holding him back, yeah, I think he's doing all right, you know. And we always just assume that when people become a little bit more professionally successful at something than their close friends, that they need to disattach from them. When maybe that's an insecurity you have because, you know, there's this belief out here. And, like, you'll see, like, there's this dude. This dude, like, you know, it's never the people that have, like, that make 20 million bucks. It's always the ones that get their first 200,000. And they're like, you know what? I'm just on a different level. I'm on a different level of thinking than my friends now, you know. It's like, bro, relax. You are one lawsuit away from being right back down with them, if not worse. All right. Sit your ass down. But then they're the ones that go on these shows like, you know what, we just weren't, you know, they just don't understand, you know, what life is like out there when you have, you know, they just don't have that same frequency. We're just on different spaces and, like, they start using shit that doesn't mean anything. It's always the ones that make, like, a few thousand dollars that start talking like this. Not the ones that are actually making millions and really, really doing it. Someone gets a couple hundred thousand, all of a sudden they start talking a certain way. They're the ones that start preaching about, oh, what you need to do when you get money. It's like, no, what you need to do when you get money is just, you know, don't be stupid. You know, don't think you're too big for your britches because you get a few dollars now. And, like, chances are, if you have bad friends, like, good friends aren't going to turn to bad friends when you have money. They were already bad friends. But now that you have money, you actually see them for being bad friends, right? But really, if you have good friends, you have a good, when you do come across that, you're going to want to reward, you know, not giving people, but you're going to want to do things with people now that you can afford these things, you know. That's what it's about. You're like, hey, look, I have this opportunity to show a part of life that we weren't able to before. And if you have good friends that appreciate that, they're going to appreciate that. And one, not abuse the power, but not be like afraid of it. Be like, hey, man, like this is fucking great. But people get a few dollars and then they become so much more selfish than when they had no money in a weird way. Like if you're selfish when you didn't have money, then when you get money, you know, if you're selfish, then you're selfish. If you're unselfish, then great. But you don't have to enter from one space to another being you don't have to be different just because now you have money. You need to be more protective of certain things. You need to be smarter. Sure. But having a certain amount in your bank account doesn't elevate you to being above certain things. I guess that's all I got to say about that. But what's odd about it is these people in the comment section, you can definitely just feel their projection of they just assume that if someone has reached a certain level, they need to disband from the people that are probably part of a reason why they're where they're at. Like, how do you not know that him being around these people you call hacks or people holding him back are actually what make him feel normal? That don't make him feel elevated as a person. That actually ground him. That actually just make him... Because typically when you start getting that, you typically start seeking to feel normal. When you're normal, you seek to feel like superior. You seek to feel, you know, exquisite, like an antique. You feel the need to feel more enhanced about yourself. Then you get all that and you're like, you know what? Actually, I just want to feel normal. And your friends group are always going to be the people, if they're good friends, that no matter how much your life changes, when you're around them, life's the same. Because we need some type of consistency throughout this life. And if you can't get that consistency within your friends group, or within your home, or within your family, your kids, your spouse, where can you get it from? Because the world out there, they will treat you different. You're absolutely right. You go out there in the world, people know that you carry a few buckaroos in your pocket, they're going to be a lot nicer to you. They're going to start treating you different. They're going to start, you know, being around you to, you know, get tips and do marketing and business deals. That's like, bruh, I'm just trying to deadlift right now. I do not give a fuck about your startup. Hey, you know, like that would be honestly, if, you know, when I become a successful trader, well, the most annoying thing, I'll be honest, is like if people ask me, hey, so how do you think the market's going to be tomorrow? And you're like, I don't fucking know. Like, you know, I know just as much as you. You're like, so you got any insider tips? It's like, no, I barely have any outsider tips. I don't have any tips. My tip is best of luck, you know. But that is the annoying thing. It's like everyone just wants some type of information from you with what you do. And once people find out you got resources, they will treat you different. You get some money, people will treat you different. You know, that's just a reality. But when you have people, if anything, they'll just shit on you for making money in a funny way, you know. When you find those people in your life that, for most people, it's their parents, their family. You know, if you have a good family, your family's always, you know, they're going to still think you're a piece of shit no matter what. They remember when you were a piece of shit, you know. That never changes. Once you're a piece of shit in someone's eyes, it never changes. That's the moral of today's pod. Once you're a piece of shit, you're always a piece of shit. obviously, mostly joking. But, you know, there's always some value. Once someone sees you in a certain light, it's very hard to shake that off, you know. Like, if your wife comes home one day and you're getting pounded in the butt, you know, that's hard to shake off, you know? just tell her it's a deep fake, you know? Sweetie, you had your Meta glasses on. That wasn't me. You know, once you're seen in a light, once you're seen with resources, you know, once you're seen to be famous and you have the world at your hands and then it collapses, you know, people will judge you and look at you different. And your butthole. but it's just all going back to the Spotify comment section. But yeah, no, you don't need to disband from your friends just because you got a little something now. You don't need to disband and have this superiority about yourself, you know. If anything, you know, you should be more about that, you know. You probably should want less, you know. Oh, fuck. Gotta say, you catch these cats in the wrong moment of the day. They look like they're praying to the Dalai Lama. more like the Dalai. Damn it. I had a good pun for it, but I forgot it. More like the Dalai Pama? Nah, that was bad. That was real bad. Yeah. Whew. This one was not as smooth as the one that I recorded that could not be posted, I can tell you that. Damn audio issue. Who knows? This one may have fucking audio issues. I quadruple mic checked this episode and it's still 50-50. but you know, one thing I will say, you know, the beautiful part of editing is I can just combine episodes. I can just cut shit out, you know. I can actually, you know, censor myself, monitor myself. And I don't know if any of y'all have ever, like, listened to yourself. Like, I was watching some where it was, like, a singer from a group. I think from Rim, the band Rim. Someone was playing them, not even a live, literally the studio version, where they solo vocalize, you know, basically where they solo vocalize the voice and they cut out all the instrumentation. And you just feel the soul of the lyrics. And he felt so uncomfortable. Because all he could think about was like, yeah, you know, the producer, I didn't really like him. He kind of made my vocals, you know, he spiked it in a way I didn't like. The peaks, like, he didn't like. But he's like, he just didn't like his listening to his voice. Not that he had a bad voice in his mind, but it's always weird just listening to yourself. It's always weird just, like, hearing yourself sing. It's always weird just hearing yourself talk for an extensive period of time and realize, shut the fuck up, you know? There's something like that, like, sometimes, if anyone's ever watched themselves on camera, you know, they ever look back, it's painful. You know, even if you're giving out valuable information, even if you're relatively being entertaining, even if you're actually, like, on top of your shit, bro, it's still just like, bro, if I was sitting here talking to you, I would fucking hate it. You know, that's all you think. Like, God, if I had to conversate with your ass, I would, you know, kill myself like the Vatican, you know? that dude's been dying for, like, a week and a half, bro. Like, you know, it's happening, bro. Give it up. that's a fucked up thing to say, but come on. You know, we always just assume that holding on for dear life is what living this life's all about, you know. I'm pretty sure if you put a kid in front of him, he would all of a sudden survive, you know. He'll all of a sudden revive himself. Who knows? Could be an inside job from the Vatican to cover up some things that may be coming out. It may have Epstein him. I don't know. We're so worried about these Epstein files and shit, but, you know. The Vatican, you know, they get to kind of go by their own law and order, which is the weird. It's like, you know, I understand separating church from the state. Yeah, stuff about God and faith should be left in the church. But, you know, once you start touching children, that kind of goes to the state, you know, some legal issues. But, you know, apparently within this vicinity, they are self-governing police, which is like, okay, yeah, that's always a great idea when you just kind of do your own fucking thing, no matter what actually happens, you know. I don't know, you know, I know that's beating a dead horse, but, you know, sometimes you gotta beat a horse to holler. That sound bad. You gotta beat a horse to stabilize. Yeah, I really thought about it, you know. How much weight would I have to lose to be like a professional horse rider? I don't even think I would have to lose like half my body weight. Some of these dudes are legitimately like 110 pounds, if not less. Like these jockeys are like 5'5", 105 pounds, because they need to be as light as possible. Which, I understand carrying more weight slows down the horse, but at the same time, I think you should at least, you know, put on a little weight. You know, it's got to know you're on his back. And sometimes when the momentum of your weight actually push the horse to generate more force, if that makes sense. It's like if you're squatting, right? Sure, you can squat 95 pounds with no resistance, but you're probably better off putting 155 in your back, even though it's not a whole lot more, but it's enough to where you're actually causing your body to use some type of strain relative to 95 pounds. Like you might as well be doing air squats at that point. You will generate more power and build more strength doing the 155 than the 95. There's your squatting horse tip of the day. But yeah, not sure this will be a one part or two part. Might combine two episodes again or just, but yeah, that was episode 330 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah. And, yeah, bet all on puts. Put it on the puts. You putsy. Don't be a putsy.